I speak in the name of Christ, who is our beloved God. Amen. Today in our sermon series, Living the Mission of Jesus, we come to the topic engaging with our communities. Communities plural because the church seeks to engage with wider society at all level, from the international to the local. Locally, the church seeks to make links with town councils, with schools, colleges, and many other organisations. But communities plural also, because each and every one of us here this morning has, like in our DNA, a unique community or network of family, friends, and colleagues. And for some of those people, we may be the only Christian they know. It is perhaps on these personal networks and communities that we need to concentrate our thoughts and prayers, as the time for the town mission, There Is More, draws close. Some of our engagement with communities is about living out the values of God's kingdom. Churches and individual Christians will seek to share Christ's love in action by working for social justice, for healing and reconciliation, and by individual acts of kindness. All this is very good as we work for the kingdom. But we also need to proclaim its king. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus adds, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The greatest act of kindness that we can do for someone is to tell them of the work of eternal healing and reconciliation that Christ carried out on the cross. That by professing him as Lord and Saviour, they may know peace, forgiveness, and eternal life with God. Do we find this prospect of engaging with our communities for Christ and his gospel rather daunting? If so, we are in good company. The Reverend Richard Jackson, who helped lead our recent mission training morning, will shortly be engaging with the communities of East Sussex as our new Bishop of Lewis. Richard described himself as daunted but excited by the prospect. How do we go about this engagement with our friends, our communities? Today's gospel reading has much to encourage and challenge us about how we and the church might engage with people. Let's take a look at it. Then hopefully we will feel less daunted and more excited, because a lot of exciting things are going on in it. The account of Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well is the longest record that we have of a conversation between him and an individual. And the first thing to remark upon is that the conversation takes place at all. There was a centuries-old feud between Jews and Samaritans. Most Jews would have no contact with Samaritans at all, and they sought to avoid even having to pass through their territory. Then, no strict Jewish rabbi would be seen talking to a woman in public. Further, as the conversation develops, it seems clear that the woman has been leading an immoral life. This may be why she came to the well in the blazing heat of noon. Then she can be sure it will be deserted. She is probably an outcast in her own community. Thus, there are three good conventional religious reasons why Jesus should be nowhere near this woman, and he ignores them all. In his compassion, he simply sees a child of God, a prodigal daughter who has wandered a long way from home. How do we regard those people that society considers as outcasts? If I'm honest, there are probably some types of people that I find hard to accept. But Jesus wants to lead them home, and possibly through our coming mission. Perhaps I need to go back to this morning's reading from Romans. For while we were still weak, in other words, while we were still far off, Christ died for the ungodly. It seems I have plenty in common with those I struggle to accept, after all. Possibly I'm not alone in that. We have to accept that sometimes the church has confused culture and gospel, and people have found that their being accepted depended on their manner of speech or dress, their intelligence, their wealth, their colour. We want to celebrate so much that is good about church, and we want to invite our friends and families to share it. But we do just need to be aware that a few of those friends we ask may have had bad experiences of church in the past, to say sorry and ask if they will give us a second chance. In our gospel story, the disciples, as the followers of Jesus, represent the church. They, like us, we hope, are in the process of being remade in his image. And it does seem that spending time with Jesus is already rubbing off on them. Despite being good Jews, they no longer have any qualms about entering a Samaritan city to buy supplies. And although they are astonished to find Jesus talking to the woman, they have the sense not to say anything. They are learning to trust him, learning perhaps to leave their conventional religiosity behind and share in his compassion for the lost. If we spend time with Jesus in prayer and worship, we can trust him to take us on a similar journey, to truly equip us to be heralds and ambassadors for his kingdom, engaging with a needy world all around us. We can also be encouraged by the way the woman's faith develops throughout her conversation with Jesus. Some of her earlier remarks seem dismissive, almost contemptuous. If we meet with unpromising responses from those that we are engaging with, we need to remember that the gospel story ends with the woman confessing Jesus as a prophet, calling people to see if he is a Messiah, and other members of her community stating that he is truly the Saviour of the world. And it all started with that one conversation at the well. If our friend's response is similar to this woman's early responses to Jesus, we need to keep faith, to keep praying for them, and to trust God for the future. Jesus sets us a beautiful example of humility and sensitivity in the gospel passage. With sensitivity, he notes both the woman's immediate concern, collecting water, but also her condition of loneliness and vulnerability. Using water images, he seeks to lead her from her present preoccupation with gathering buckets of water to receiving the healing spring of God's eternal life within her. We need to use that same sensitivity in engaging with our friends and families. We know their characters, their occupations, their interests. Pray that God will show us the best way to engage with them. Pray that he will show us which mission events to invite them to. We might also note that the very first thing Jesus does in his encounter with the Samaritan woman is to ask her for something, to allow her to meet his need. This is an important lesson for us and for the church as we seek to engage with those communities around us. As Christians, we certainly should be keen to share our faith, but this can sometimes lead us to think that we should do all the talking, all the teaching, all the giving. If we are truly seeking to engage with our friends and families, we will be genuinely interested in what they have to tell us, in listening to their stories. Remember that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman for some time before the church showed up in the form of the disciples. You may have been talking to our friends for some time before we turn up. They may have been to Sunday school or had other church contact. They may have read books or seen films about Jesus. Perhaps they just watch songs of praise sometimes. Whatever it is, let's listen to them and accept it as their gift to us before we tell them what we think we've found out about Jesus and invite them to join us in searching further. At the end of the day, we are not religious experts. Only God is an expert on God. And there is more for all of us to find out about him. We do not need to be religious experts to invite our friends to mission events. But we do need to engage with them in humility and integrity. And above all, prayerfully, asking God to prepare their hearts to receive his message and to grant us faith and excitement in what he is about to do. Amen.